This morning, if you have a Bible, I invite you to open to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. Jeremiah, chapter 7. Now, and for quite some time now, we've been following the kings of Israel and Judah and the prophets. And we're continuing to do that so today. But we're going to take the scripture out of the book of Jeremiah and kind of tie it all together. And so the best way I can describe it is you open your Bible in the middle, you got Psalms, and you keep flipping, you got Proverbs, Classies, and then you got Isaiah, followed by Jeremiah. And of course, Isaiah, we talked about him earlier this summer. He was a prophet to Hezekiah. And now we're talking about the ministry of Jeremiah. All right. From the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah. You that enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Amend your ways and your doings, and let me dwell with you in this place. Do not trust these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly to one another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever. Here you are, trusting deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known? And then come stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are safe. Only go on doing all the abominations. Has this house, which has been called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? You know, I too am watching, says the Lord. Go now to my place up in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell first, and see what I did to it, for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because you have done all these things, says the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen, and when I called to you, you did not answer. Therefore I will do to the house that is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place I gave to you, to your ancestors, just what I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, just as I cast all your kinfolks, all the offspring of Ephraim. And as for you, do not pray for this people. Do not raise a cry or prayer on their behalf, and do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Do not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. The children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Is it I whom they provoke, says the Lord? Is it not themselves their own hurt? Therefore thus says the Lord God, My anger and wrath shall be poured out in this place, on human beings and animals, on the trees, the field, the fruit of the ground, it will burn not quench. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Add your burnt offerings to your sacrifice and eat the flesh. For the day that I brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to them or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this command I gave them, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk only in the way that I command you, so it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but in the stubbornness of their own evil will, they walked in their own counsels, and they looked backwards instead of forwards. For the day that your ancestors came out of the land of Egypt till this day, I persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them, day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or pay attention, but they stiffened their necks. They did worse than their ancestors did. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they shall not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer to you. You shall say to them, This nation did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished, and has cut off their lips. Cut off their hair and throw it away. Raise the lamentations in the bare heights. For the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation that provoked his wrath. For the people of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house that is called by my name, defiling it. And they go on building the high place of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hamon, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come to my mind. Therefore, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when it will be no more called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hamon, but the valley of slaughter, for they will bury in Topheth until there is no more room. The corpse of this people will be food for the birds of the air, and for the animals of the earth. No one will frighten them away. And I will bring to the end the sound of mirth and gladness, the voice of the bride and bridegroom in the cities of Judah, and the streets of Jerusalem, for the land shall become a waste. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Now, that's a depressing chapter, isn't it? God tells Jeremiah to tell the folks, don't think you can come in my temple and say we're safe after you committed all these abominations. And talks about this house, which is called by my name, has become a den of robbers. If that sounds familiar, you probably heard that around Holy Week when Jesus cleaned the temple and he made a reference to being a den of thieves, den of robbers. He was quoting from the book of Jeremiah when he said the den of robbers part. The part when he said this is a house of prayer is from the book of Isaiah. A lot of times when Jesus says stuff, if we'll go back in your Jewish scriptures, Old Testament, he's quoting one of the prophets. And talks about how they have invoked him to anger. Talks about how they're making cakes to the queen of heaven. They're worshiping these idols. And then they have sunken so low at the end of the chapter, it talks about child sacrifice. And you may recall that was the very sin which God said enough when it came to the Canaanites who live in the promised land before the Jewish people arrived. When they sunk that low in their society, he said enough, they're gone. Well, who is Jeremiah? Well, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about how he is a son of a priest. And the Lord came to him during the days of King Josiah. Now, King Josiah was a godly king. He was a great king, and he led the people towards a great revival. And so the Lord came to Josiah and called him. Verse 5, the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah is a young guy. Again, it sounds like you Sunday. And he says, oh, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak. I am only a boy. You know, Lord, I'm too young to be a prophet. Is it funny how we're either too young, we're too old, we're too middle-aged, and we're too busy? That won't work for the Lord. He don't care how old or young you are. When he calls you to do something, you better say yes. And the Lord says, do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak what I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord bowed his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, now I put my words in your mouth. See today I appoint you over nations, over kingdoms, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The Lord tells this boy named Jeremiah, I put my words in your mouth, and I'm going to put you above the kingdoms. You will speak judgment against them. And then at the end of that chapter, he says, but you, gird up your loins, they'll be like tie your shoelaces. Stand up and tell them everything that I command you. Do not break down before them, or I'll break you before them. For I, my part, have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and its people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. Fight with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And so Jeremiah, bless his heart, he has the honor of speaking judgment to the kings of Judah, telling things they really don't want to hear. So what happens? Well, first of all, King Josiah dies in battle against Egypt. And that's kind of important because what's going to go on is you have the Egyptian kingdom down south. You got the Babylonian kingdom up north. And you got the kingdom of Judah in between. All right. And some of you older folks might remember a thing called the Cold War. Remember that? We had the United States and the Soviet Union. And you had to pick sides. Well, that was what's going on. You know, you got to pick sides. And Jeremiah's job is to say, quit depending on the Egyptians to protect you against the Babylonians. You need to turn to God. And so when King Josiah dies, his son comes along. And his son, it starts to, it's like a Jericho in, it's J-E-R, it ends in the I-N. And he's no good. He's sorry. The next son comes along. And here's a Jerichoim, ends with an I-M, okay? And this is the king who, in chapter 36, that Josiah, that Jeremiah and his friend Baruch, the scribe, they get a scroll. And Baruch writes down the prophecies of Jeremiah and that scroll. It says verse 21. And then the king said Judiah to get the scroll, and he took it from the chamber. And Judiah read it to the king and the officials. Now the king was sitting in his winter apartment, and there was a fire burning the brazier there. And Judiah would read three or four columns, and the king would cut them off with a penknife and throw them in the fire until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire. Yet neither the king nor his servants who heard all these words was alarmed. Jeremiah was telling the king, King, you got to repent. The Babylonians are coming. You got to repent. And the king did not believe him. And what did the Lord say to Jeremiah? Verse 28. Take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which King Jeroboam of Judah has burned. And concerning King Jeroboam of Judah, you shall write, you have dared to burn the scroll, saying, why have you written it that the king of Babylon will certainly come to destroy this land and will cut off it from human beings and animals? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning King Jeroboam of Judah, he shall have no one sit upon the throne of David. And so because this king and his wickedness, he burned part of the scroll, burned part of that scroll, burned part of that scroll. And he thought, if I burn the scroll, it didn't happen. But you know, in the past, folks had tried to burn Bibles, and that didn't change anything, did it? God's word still stands. And what happened was that the king of Babylon came in, marched in, took him prisoner, took him back to Babylon with many of his soldiers and the finest men and the young men. That's where the prophet Daniel comes along at. And then the king of Babylon sets up a new king on the throne, the puppet king. And gives him a new name, calls him Zedekiah, okay? And Zedekiah is the one who he and Jeremiah have a very awful relationship with. Well, what else does Jeremiah says? In chapter 18, the Lord tells Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house, down to the pottery barn. And there he is watching the potter making pot. And the word of the Lord came to me and said, can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning nation and kingdom, that I may pluck it up or break it down. In other words, why is it that the potter can take clay and make something beautiful out of it? But I can't take my own people and do something with them. They're so rebellious. Mm-hmm. Now, remember that song we have in our church hymnal about, have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Now, it should be as Christians, we should allow God to use us, to make us into his instrument that he wishes to use. And what happens is that Jeremiah ends up buying a piece of pottery, preaches a sermon that says this pottery represents people of Judah, and then he throws it down and breaks it and says, this is what happens when you disobey God. Remind me back in the 80s, we used to have these commercials about the egg, and they would say, this is your brain. That's your brain on drugs. Any questions? Well, Jeremiah was saying, this is your kingdom. This is your kingdom when it's on drugs and doesn't obey the Lord. It gets shattered. Well, that wasn't bad enough. You have some of these false prophets running around. And this one false prophet, he was telling King Zedekiah. He says, now listen, King, you got Jeremiah there walking around with this wooden yoke, talking about the people will be punished. And he took that wooden yoke and broke it in two and says, thus says the Lord, in 2 years, all the people in Babylon will be back home with us. In 2 years, I guarantee it. Okay. And Jeremiah says, so be it, you know. I hope that's true. But thus says the Lord. He says, instead of a wooden yoke, he's going to give you a yoke of iron that will not break because you have refused to obey the Lord. I have brought up King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon as a punishment for you for your sins. And oh, by the way, this prophet you're listening to, he'll be dead in 2 years. Verse 17, in that same year, seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died. Think about how in our own lifetime we see so many false prophets rise up. And this was interesting is that Jeremiah writes a letter to the people in Babylon. I bet that some of this sounds familiar. Listen to this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, to all the exiles who have sent exiles from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek for the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on his behalf for his welfare. You will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Yeah. Let me back up. And pray to the Lord on his behalf. Okay, pray for the city. And its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams they dream. For as a lie they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you. Okay? So remember, the false prophet saying you got 2 years, you'll be back home. The Lord says, no, it's going to be 70 years. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Then verse 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future and with hope. Then when you call upon me and come pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with your whole heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place for which I sent you into exile. So here's these false prophets telling the people in Babylon, hey, in 2 years, you guys be back home. So, no, don't buy a house. Just rent out a little bit. Don't get married. Just kind of hang loose. You know, you'll be back home in 2 years. And Jeremiah writes a letter and says, not 2 years, honey, 70 years. All right, let's do some math here. I'm 43, right? So if I got that letter in the mail and saying 70 years, you can go back home, I'm thinking, well, what's that, 113? I might not be making it back home, no. But what does Jeremiah says? Don't quit living. Buy a house. Plant a garden. Get married. Have kids. Have grandkids. Pray for the peace of Babylon. Why? Because when the city prospers, you shall prosper. And in 70 years, I will bring you back home from the nations. For I know the plans I have for you, and they are good plans. You see, we like that verse a lot in May around graduation. But at the time the people first heard it, it had to do with an entire nation. A nation that had sinned against God. And God said to them, listen, you messed up. I bet you in time out in Babylon. But the day will come, I will bring you back home. Well, in the meantime, back at the ranch, things are only getting worse. And so you have a situation here where Jeremiah's preaching. And it's not going very well for him. And the king calls him in. The king questions him secretly. Is there any word of the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. He said, okay, what is it? What is it? I want to hear it. You shall be handed over to the king of Babylon. That's not what the king of Judah wanted to hear. But see, over and over, Jeremiah told him, like, you need to go out, surrender, put your hands up in the air, and let them take you in. That's the only way you had to hope to survive this. The king gets upset. And Jeremiah said to him, what wrong have I done to you, your servants? Or this people? Do you put me in prison? Where are your people who prophesied to you, saying the king of Babylon shall not come against you and against this land? Now please hear me, my lord king. Be good enough to listen to my plea, and do not send me back to the house of the secretary Jonathan to die there. So King Zedekiah gave orders, and they committed Jeremiah to the court of the guard, and a loaf of bread was given to him, they from the baker's street, until all the bread of the city was gone. You see, the Babylonians had surrounded Jerusalem. It was under siege. And the king was feeding Jeremiah a loaf of bread till the bread was gone. Well, Jeremiah goes out and preaches to the people and says, thus says the Lord, those who stay in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence. But those who go up to the Babylonians shall live, and they shall have their lives a prize of war and live. Thus says the Lord, this city surely will be handed over to the army of the king of Babylon and be taken. And the officials go to the king and say, hey, king, this man ought to be put to death because he is discouraging the soldiers who are left in the city and for all the people by speaking these words to them. This man is not seeking the welfare of his people, but their harm. And the king said, well, here he is. He's in your hands, for the king is powerless against you. And so they took Jeremiah and they put him in the well. Not well like W-H-A-L-E, like Jonah the whale, but well as W-E-L-L. So Jeremiah goes from being in the dungeon to being in the whale. And so eventually, an Ethiopian guy comes to the king and says, hey, king, you need to get him out. We need him. All right, bring him out. The king said to Jeremiah, I have something to ask you. Do not hide it from me. And Jeremiah replies, if I tell you, you will put me to death, will you not? If I give you advice, you will not listen. And the king says, the Lord lives, gives the laws, I will not put you to death. And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord God of hosts, God of Israel, if you will only surrender, you and your house will live. You know that song, I Surrender All? King, you got to surrender. You got to come out with your hands up in the air and surrender. If you do that, you and your kids will live. But if you keep fighting the Babylonians, it will not go down pretty. It will be bad. And so the king replies to Jeremiah, do not let anyone know this conversation or you will die. And what happens? King Zedekiah ignores the advice of Jeremiah. What happens? The enemy gets through the walls. The Babylonians come in. And the king and his sons and their men take off running in the fields, trying to get away. And the Babylonians catch up on their horses and surround them. They bring them before the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And then one of those kind of cruel moments, there's the king, there's his sons. And the king of Babylon goes, the sons are killed in front of the king of Judah. And then King Nebuchadnezzar says, by the way, that's the last thing you'll ever see. Because then they burn out his eyes and haul him off to Babylon. And then the Babylonians come in and they destroy the city of Jerusalem. Now, what's sad about that is all that could have been avoided if they had only turned away from those idols, if they had only listened to Jeremiah. Even at the very end, they just came out with their hands up and surrendered. Their lives would have been spared. Jerusalem would not have been destroyed. And instead, they came in, the Babylonians did, destroy Jerusalem, knock down the walls, destroy the temple. And that's why later on, Zerubbabel had to rebuild the temple and Nehemiah has to rebuild those walls. Well, is there anything good come out of this? In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. See, that's why I picked that song out. It's based on the book of Lamentations, where the prophet looks out and sees Jerusalem in ruins and says, I have hope in one thing, God's goodness and his mercy. Every morning his mercies are renewed, and great is his faithfulness. That's why we sing that song, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. So what about us this morning? Are we like the prophet Jeremiah? Are we willing to take a stand and say what we God lays on our hearts? Are we like King Zedekiah? We kind of sort of listen, we kind of sort of obey, and then at the end, it's just total disaster because time after time after time, we ignore what God said to us. My prayer is that we'll always be like Jeremiah, that even though he was a young guy and got started, he was not afraid to do what was right and said the right things, and he was obedient. And even though he got thrown in the dungeon, even though he got put in the well, even though he got yelled at and screamed at for saying things he didn't like, God was with him. And that's why years later, who's King Zedekiah? Nobody knows, except a few biblical scholars. He's the last king of Judah. Who's Jeremiah? We know him. He's a great prophet of God. Obeying God, and leave all the consequences to him. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right, this time I invite you to open your red Methodist hymnal to page 375.